You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Well, this is my
Happy New Year
call,
to you.
My call for the year. I must say, Happy New Year to you and the station, the fellow callers and listeners. And I hope for prosperity. Now, Mr. Ellis, I would like to make a wish for the new year. And my wish would be that this program would be given its pride of place as the number one show on radio, that it would not be chopped up to accommodate every other whim and fancy. And if that you do need to change it, let's say to get in your Christmas advertising or things like that, that you would shift it to the night like you used to do before, because people will starve for it. So you can chew on that. Besides, on Christmas bank holiday, I decided I was going to get a sea bath. And it was going on balance. I went by my daughter there, I was doing something for her. And then she told me that somebody having a little birthday party down back to her to come and drive her, so she will have to drive and I can be down there. I went down there, park at back to her, and I walk up to Paradise, Mr. Ellis. And the only thing I didn't do is puke, Mr. Ellis. You went down the back of there recently?
How recent is recently?
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Let's say in the past year.
Yes, I've seen it, yes.
And how it looked to you?
Well, you know, Bats Rock is the place. You see, you don't be down Bats Rock too often, so to you, it will shock you.
I'm not speaking about Bats Rock.
Paradise.
I'm speaking about Paradise, Mr. Ellis.
Yeah, well, it has long been a shell.
Mr. Ellis.
To me.
I grew up down there, so I know it from Land's End to Bats Rock. I used to go walk that thing every day. I know it backward. Mr. Ellis, there's nowhere that a place could get a name like Paradise and live up to it by name and nature could find itself in that situation that it is in now, Mr. Ellis. And you had a man in your studio that was one of the major players in that there, and I didn't hear nothing about down there. Mr. Ellis, it made me sick, right? I would like
I was wondering where you were going with this here, but I know what
I like the authorities to pay some attention to down here.
I know, understand.
Right?
We need to ask the question. Well, first of all, the government has indicated that a prominent American family business is involved in the plan to finish or to create a new project down at Paradise, take over that area.
Mr. Ellis,
yes, sir.
With all due respect, that is not what I mean.
What do you mean?
I mean we preparing for a regathering, and I would like it clean up. And that's to do with the rebuilding or what we're gonna. I want a clean up. Mr. Ellis, if you go down there have no resemblance of Paradise. And that place was Paradise by name and nature. Even passing the head,
who owns
first
it?
Guy wants
excuse me.
Is it the Bush?
Who owns it?
Who owns it?
Yeah.
Who owns it? Could you have a center, Mr. Ellis?
So Ms. Ram owns it too?
No.
I didn't realize that. The point is, it's private property, isn't it?
No, the government owns it.
I don't know that.
You don't know that?
The Paradise Project was not a government project. The government stepped.
Is it a creation center neither?
Oh, come on.
Let the government show you that there is the ultimate authority.
Hold on. Please.
I would like them to go
please,
and,
do not
and,
confuse.
And take
do not confuse.
Don't let the regathering people come in and see Paradise.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't know that. I've been down there on many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Paradise has been like this now for years. So I don't know why all of a sudden the government has to go down there to clean it up. And it's private property. If everything is to be done in the name of the gathering, you should go and pay the money that is required for it. And if you're so concerned about it, go and pay the money and do it. Well, you don't. I think the bigger issue with, let me say, the bigger issue with Paradise is to get down there sorted out so that the project can resume, and we wait to see how soon that will happen. I don't recall hearing that listed among the projects that the Prime Minister spoke about last night.
Well, me neither. So I know that all I want is it debush, that when people come for the gathering and they go to Paradise, they wouldn't have that type of disgrace, Mr. Ellis. It made me sick. I can tell you for me personally.
Anyhow,
we can leave that there, Mr. Ellis.
We can leave it, because what shocks me about your intervention is that you are making such heavy weather about Paradise. But why, you need to get in your car and drive all over Barbados and find every spot that looks like that and ask for the government to clean it up. You know, so many other spots are in that kind of state.
Mr.
Why Paradise alone?
Because
you have to go down by the beach. To see Paradise in that state.
And I know that there are gathering people going from Paradise.
Are you making sense?
Lots of them go up down there. All it was the number one thing in all days, Mr. Ellis.
All right, sir.
And if you didn't get there, something was wrong with you.
All right, you have a good
day.
By day
and by night.
All right,
so sir. I want it at least the bush. Rebuilding, that's a different story. But I want it the bush.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Ellis.
That's one. We got another.
Yes.
You got another one?
I got lots more, Mr. Ellis. Well,
let me hear
it. Anyhow, on New Year's Day now, I went up St. Stephen's Hill. And then when you come straight, there you swing. Right there with the foresters was, I look into Golden Acre, Mr. Ellis. And I saw a humongous pile of garbage. I would like you to check with somebody and see if it has been removed as yet.
But why me? Well, I didn't do the first check.
I didn't do the first check.
Well, you can't go and do the second check.
Well, I did my part. I highlighted it.
You highlighted
it? I highlighted it. You is a radio personality. You check.
If you got such deep civic responsibility on your shoulders, you should have hired a truck or two or three and move the stuff then.
Okay, I can come into that now. Go on right before I go and I come into that. Now, you remember that the Prime Minister, and we had this debate already, in her acceptance speech, say that she is going to keep the parity with the contributory pensioners. Well, I have a contributory pensioner, right? The workers were given a 5% increase. Now they're adjusting their tax bands again, so they will get more in the pocket. The non-contributory pensioners was given a 43% increase. The contributory pensioners didn't get nothing. All we got was a bill waxed black. So if I was given the 43% increase, I would gladly donate some to charitable causes. But I wasn't given it, Mr. Ellis. So now that you're going there, I am politely asking the Prime Minister to remember the contributory pensioners and that she promised them to keep the parity. Next, Mr. Ellis, Edward Clark from the business
Private
people.
Sector Association.
Private sector, the business people. The other day, I hear him saying about the IMF made some report there and whatever. He's happy with it. But I would like to ask him, what about the solemn pledge that was made that when the NSRL is removed, that prices is going to come down? I've asked my man, Mr. Wickham, to give me one item that come down, and the only one he could find is one I don't use. So I'm going to ask Mr. Clark to give me the prices of the items in the basic basket of foods. Give me some that come down so that I can
Who made the promise about the reduction in prices. Yeah.
Who made it?
Yes.
Well, I didn't make it because I'm a businessman.
Did he make
it? These people that was letting down the government to remove it. And it was removed because of the pledge. Remember that, you know, it was removed because of the pledge. That it was hurting them too badly, and then once it removed, the prices is going to come down. So as to who and who ain't, I ain't there representing them, so I don't know. But I know the pledge was made, and it was granted. It was removed. And I know that up to today, I would like to get the idea of the price of items in the food basket that come down. You can find at least one, Mr. Ellis.
Well, you know what? Barbados, to ask me to go and look for... Just let me finish. Let me make my point in the way that I want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Barbados has several different supermarkets in this country. Some mm-hmm. supermarkets sell items at high prices. Others have the reputation of selling things at lower prices. I haven't done a study of this or that item, but I get the distinct impression from what I have seen on the ground as recently as this past year, and at Christmas and New Year's, that people know where to go to get lower prices for various items. So you have to tell me, you're the one who must tell me whether there are not instances, none whatsoever, where people can argue that some prices have gone down. Now, I want to say to you that the NSRL and its removal could not be the only factor that would influence food prices in this country. Indeed, it was pointed out that around the same time, the cost of freight has gone up. This year, we have a situation where many ships, cargo ships, have to change the fuel that they are using, and you're going to see some increases there as well. The tariff issues between the United States and China also contributed to increases last year. So to look at NSRL only as a factor would be making a mistake.
Mr. Ellis, you know, I spoke to that there from the very beginning. I'm glad to see that you know come around to what I was saying.
But it's not fair to say that because I have never been among those people who advocated that you are going to see a reduction in prices because of the removal of NSRL. Indeed, some of these very points were made last year.
Mr. Ellis,
yes.
Listen to me. When the pledges were made to remove the NSRL, they did not anticipate that by removing the NSRL, that then they will have had to take on the wax plaques that they take on. Remember, I said that from the beginning, water going up by 50%, or water bill, or the climate in the water, going up by 50%. These kinds of things, that is what bring about, or rather nullify, the effect of getting a reduction from the NSRL.
Anyhow, we got to leave you. We're going to the regional roundup, and then we'll have the Starcom Network news headlines before we come back to continue this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm well, and you?
Yes, I'm blessed, thanks. I just wanted to wish you a very happy new year and all the very best to you. God's blessings. Let me thank you for last year and all that you've done. Congratulations on the Starcom station and on everything that y'all are doing to enlighten us and to help us with Barbados to making it better and to making it more informed, educated, and entertained as the fourth estate. Mr. Allen, I was just wondering, it's not a philosophy or anything, but I know four aspects of each and every person that lives on this planet. Their life, there are people who are atheists, but most of our lives are dedicated to four things: God, then you have family, then there is the state, our government, and then our health, our lifestyle. And these things are the bedrock. They're who we are, and they're what make us in a way where we can try to follow them to be happier, and they're what gives us substance to be able to thrive and to be happy and to be able to succeed and achieve. And, you know, I know everybody, as I said, doesn't believe in God, but I believe in God, and God is the first in my life. And after God, I know some people would put this differently, would put these four, shuffle them around, but I know I always put my family right after God. You know, my mom, my whoever around me, even my friends and so on, to be charitable, and charity is the key. Of course, charity begins at home, so I put my mother at the top. And also, then I would indeed declare the state, because, you know, I just wish that more people would be more kind and loving and would see a society that, even as the Prime Minister spoke yesterday, would see a society that is more calm and not so violent and so on. And so that is why I put the state before my health, the state government, our careers, what we have to do, what we are educated with, which is the last part that I'm going to speak about. Health, your diet, what you do on a daily basis, your hobbies, how you interrelate with yourself, to know thyself, so that you can, as I said, so that you can become a better person in a career, person at your job, a better family member, your role and your status as someone in who you are, who you may be, or who you really are, and who you are, and of course, to them, to those that would believe God and his meaning of life, and the kind of love and joy and happiness that he gives us, indeed, as we come and we approach this year, 2020, an important and pivotal year to our success and progressing and going forward. So hopefully to have our generations to come, posterity, that is something that is of substance and sustainable, substantial growth, not only in economics and society, which is what makes us so key to these four. So you can try to take them along. I don't know how it is that you would relate it to what you do, or who you are, who you think of yourself to be, Mr. Ellis. But I just hope that it can help you, and I just hope that it can help all of those who are listening and in the sound of my voice that it is good and an example.
Well, let me relate it to what I want to relate it to.
Yes,
I want to relate it to the piece I saw on social media the other day, where the priest, I believe at St. Barnabas Church, Anglican Church, I think. Oh, no, St. Cyprian's.
Sorry.
Anglican Church.
Yes, uh-huh.
Just hold on. Made it clear to people who are going there for funerals that he has it within his power to stop the service or not to conduct the service at all if they go into church and behave badly. I want to relate it to the incident that the Prime Minister alluded to last night, where the men were at the graveside pouring the brandy into on top of the coffin and behaving in a most disrespectful manner. This is the kind of stuff, this is the kind of Barbados that frightens many of us, because we know where that is going to take us. We have too many people in the country who have really reached the point of believing that they have to have respect for no one and nothing. When you get to that point, the state itself is also hemmed in to a greater degree than it appeared to be in former years. I mean, the court system and everything, it respects the fact that human beings have a certain set of rights, and that you have to go through process and all of that. And there are people who are seeking to exploit what are seen as those weaknesses. Those are the areas that we need to concentrate on to help improve the situation in the country.
Indeed.
And I mean, I know that many people have been shocked by those videos, especially the one with the men who were at the gravesite behaving in the way that they were. And, you know, I felt for the person who was the presiding pastor or priest.
Yeah,
I mean, because what we are also seeing here is that in places like Jamaica, in Jamaica right now, undertakers are very, very careful about whose funerals they preside over, you know, which cases they take. I mean, and you don't want us to reach that stage. I don't know all of what can be done to try to steer Barbados, those types of Bajans, away from that way of life. But you know what disappoints me most of all about it? What disappoints me most of all is that these are young black men who are behaving like this, who have absolutely no sense of direction, no sense of what other black people fought and died for. Some of us spend a lot of time talking about dying for the vote. But it isn't just dying for the vote. There were people who fought so that black people could live in dignity and could find something positive in life and be able to move forward. We have lost a lot of our heroes along the way, and these young men are showing us the effects of all of that. And then it's very, very disturbing. So that's what comes to my mind from all that you've said. I want to thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
David, how are you?
You're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good afternoon. It's 14 minutes after midday.
Good afternoon to you, sir. Can I take the opportunity to wish you a blessed 2020?
Sure. Thank you. The same to you and yours.
Thank you, sir. Now, the previous caller was pretty interesting in his discourse. I want to use that as a segue into what I want to say. I was touched with the pronouncements of the Prime Minister in her address to the nation. Truly, there comes a time in every nation when the collective aspirations of the people are engaged to, one, rescue, restore, and to rebuild a nation. And I hear her appeal, and I think it's at this juncture we need to truly, as a partner in the quest to rebuild Barbados. And the prophetic destiny of our nation is at stake, and I think, as was determined in the last general election, where through the vote, Bajans sought to wrest the state of the nation and say to the political directorate that enough is enough. We need to stand up and build a real nation. And truly, political institutions and governments have a responsibility to direct the affairs of a nation. But ultimately, as a nation under God, we have a stake, as the people have a stake in the uplifting of the nation. And we cannot retract from that. We have to put our hands to the plow and work with whichever government in terms of building our nation. I heard your update in the news where the opposition leader, you know, would have made a pronouncement. So I'm hoping that we can hear the text of what he has to say, because truly the opposition has a voice. And interestingly, the way things panned out in the last election, where Bishop Adderley crossed the floor and created his own party, I think that that's incisive in terms of what our nation, where our nation is in terms of the political realm, and where we are in terms of governance.
Expand on that.
No, I don't think it's the politics aside. Bishop Adderley would have journeyed with the BLP all his political life, and his decision, I you know, whatever guided it. The reality is that he now stands in a position where he has to keep the government in check, and that's what he outlined as his posture. The fact though that politically he would have not been competed, he didn't compete as an opposition in the opposition. The people say we don't want you. He filled a void, and that void therefore is now there's a sense to which he has a responsibility to account, perhaps the government to account for their choices, for how they govern, and be the people's voice.
Have you listened to his contributions in the past year, and what is your assessment?
I have thought to.
What do you think of the job that he has done in that regard?
I think he has done a perform yeoman service to be the voice crying in the wilderness, so to speak. I don't think he's opposed for opposing's sake. I think he has been erudite in his pronouncements in challenging the majority that the government has to be more accountable to the people. And I think, you know, to a large degree, he has, I mean, it's no small mean feat for one man to be up on all the bills and you know, do the research and in circumstances where he said that he's not been given privy, you know, and prior notice, and had the opportunity to have pre-trial disclosure, but in a sense where he a lot of stuff has happened without him getting the benefit of pre disclosure.
But I want to tell you that I really do have a lot of respect for the role that he has played.
Right.
We never knew what to expect when he made that decision, but I feel that it has been for the better of the country and the parliament for made that move. And in the way that he speaks to the issues, I don't get the impression that it is about the sheer politics of it or pulling down people and that sort of thing.
That's it. I think that's it. That's an important point because, truthfully, and, you know, those who would have seen Bishop Alley function, you know, he's a servant of the people. His only desire is not about power for him; it's about service, and that service to country, whether at the political level or at the church level or at the community level, that has been him, right? So I think that all, you know, politicians on both sides of the fence and aspiring politicians can take a leaf of his book in terms of how a man perhaps could have, you know, found himself in a circumstance and function for the betterment of the people. And I think nationally that's a standard that we must engage in terms of how we move forward. I'm grateful. I think we have a visionary leader in place, and I think God has had, you know, he's been our guide over the years, and no less today he is, in terms of orchestrating the outcome of this nation. No, Straker's turn to, I mean, the reality is that the cut and dry politics will remain. We're in a political system, and that will stand. But there is a sense to which we need to set that aside at some point and bring, as I said, the collective energies towards lifting our nation. Paradise lost. Now, I don't think you use his cry today about cleaning up down paradise. Barbados has been a paradise which has somewhat been lost. And the sense to which we have to put our hands to the plow to restore this our paradise. You know, we have the imagery of the 10 lost years. That you know, we in 2020, at the beginning of this decade, the symbolism of starting over and building together to for a 7-year period to you know, be outlined a vision has been outlined. The sense to how it will be fleshed out, we will see that. And I think that at a community level, you know, you talk about the disregard of our young men and some of the events on social media with how they have, you know, become so disrespectful and functioning. It hurts us. It really does.
It is painful to watch it.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I mean, I'm going back to work in a couple of years, and I will go into an environment where I will see young men who are struggling, young men who are victims of circumstance, yes, but young men who have been defiant in terms of their own, how they charted their course and found themselves where they are. But it is not beyond us as a community, as a people, to stem the tide and to take back our families, our communities, or the institutions that have done us service well in the past. And I think that this is a critical time for all of us to rally and stand up and say enough is enough. We can do better than this. We will do better than this.
But
for the sake of our
children,
be moving forward.
You can get any number of negative videos being sent on social media. Mm-hmm. As long as something bad happens, somebody is out with a telephone, and they capture it and they circulate it.
Right.
Let me ask you, what will it take for us to get more people to circulate the good things, to capture the stories of the same types of young men that you're talking about? Because the media is here, yes, but we can't get to every story. But every person who has a cell phone can come into contact with a story like that and share it with the rest of this community, rather than just concentrate almost exclusively on all these negative things that happen, the fights and all of that.
So we
need to look for a way of trying to inspire that kind of approach as well.
For sure. We can't bury our heads in sand and pretend it's not happening. It's happening in a way that is unprecedented, and it will continue to happen. You know, obviously social media and quick access to information magnifies it and creates that negative trajectory. But I think that together we need to understand, hey, this is what's happening. This negativity, we must not give it life. I mean, life and death are in the power of your tongue. We must speak life into our young men. We must speak life into our nation. We must say, look, we are moving past this negativity. This has not served us well. This will not serve us well in the future. So we put a stop to it, and we are engaging in positive reinforcement of the values that has built this nation. We're seeking to restore the level of community life and being our brother's keeper and really engaging in a way that is natural to us. I think our Barbados is not lost.
Okay.
Barbados is still, you know, perched to strive and be the nation that will be the envy of the world. So
all
I
right.
said, 2020, we will move forward, and we will restore this nation, and we will prosper.
Thank you very much for your positive contribution. Here's a matter of real concern. This person says it is a matter of urgency. They are talking about a situation on the Rock Hall route. I believe that's in St. Thomas. They're saying here that there's a concern among commuters in the area who are worried about the bus passing through the Hayman's Plantation area, where there is an old bridge that is in desperate need of repair, according to the writer. They say that they spoke to the driver about crossing this bridge with passengers in the vehicle, and he said that he's gotten word to the transport authority about it as well, and they are very worried about what is likely to happen here. They say the bridge is sinking, and the crossing of the highway is dangerous in that area. And they want the authorities to look at this particular bridge, which is close to Hayman's. And I sincerely hope that something can be done about that. Remember, there are many bridges in this country that are crying out for attention. Huh? And, you come right back to, why does it cost so much? I mean, our infrastructure really requires a lot of attention. It's not, the government has done some work on some of the roads, but the bridges really are in need of urgent attention, some more than others. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
I wanted to talk to you on Tuesday, but the personality was there. They say my conscience, they cannot ask any questions. So I shift that.
Is it the personality or your competence to deal with them?
My competence? Mm-hmm. Well, there ain't nothing that no mankind could say or do that I have the knowledge of. God give me knowledge.
So why should any personality? So why should any personality? How should any personality intimidate you?
I do not believe that a personality like that person should be on the air.
Well, you know what? I want to tell you something.
I just want to tell you something though.
You got to be very careful because you come here and you
cannot. You cannot. Listen,
let me finish. Let me make the point.
Yeah, yeah.
You come here and there are many people who listen to you who feel you shouldn't be on the air.
But that's obvious. With a lot of people don't listen. But who you expect to happen?
As a matter of fact, the theme in the background suggests that you won't be on the air for much longer because we got to go to the news. So we come back to you. Down to brass tacks.
Back to you, David.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
No. Just before I come to you, let me share a very important bit of information here. This person says that they ordered some medication online since October last year, 2019, and they have been unable to get it out of the port up to now. They say that these things can't be fair to the average person who has to use medicine from abroad. They go on to say that it usually takes them about 2 weeks to get this item. But now with the Asicuta system, the new one that they're trying to introduce, they're saying that it has everything grounded to a halt and they're getting sick again. Their broker has complained to customs but to no avail. This person says that they have been given the impression that the customs, they don't want any bad press. So there's something like a gag order on the customs brokers union. In their judgment, the controller is only talking about the faster processing of the barrels, but he can't speak about other small items because that is at a standstill. There is a plea here. Please, can someone help all of us who need urgent things out of the port? The writer says that these inefficiencies need to be brought to light to help poor people who have no one to fight their cause. Customs has refused to talk to us, and as usual, says the writer, they don't return calls. They are giving the impression that things are working, but that is far from the truth, says the writer. And they ask, what more can I do? Asicuta is awful. Please help us, VOB, as you are our only voice. Now that is serious stuff. Yes, sir.
Yes, David. Now, let me start off, and you know me long, and I appreciated that I knew you long time ago as a young journalist. Now, let me say this. I hear you continuously preach about balance and negativity. Now, let me start off on that premise. Now, a caller said he was the first caller, and you told him you appreciate him as a first caller. What he has to do is make sure he gets his facts. And as long as he gets his facts, he could be a regular caller. You could remember that, the conversation?
I don't know that they said he could be a regular caller.
Well, as long as he gets his facts right.
I meant to say basically that it would be a pleasure to entertain him, to talk with him.
Right. As long as he got facts. I want you to do the same thing with your moderator. That when they come on the air to argue against the caller, that you got the facts right. Good. Now, let me go on to what I heard you with this morning. Now, I am the person who constantly query the knocking down of the National Insurance Building. And I heard you went on this morning, if you left it there for vagrants to sleep on the steps. Could you remember the town hall?
Which
down
one?
By St. Mary's Wall?
I wasn't there.
You wasn't there? You know the town hall house?
Oh, the town hall.
The town hall building?
Yes, I know the building, yeah.
Good. You remember the state that was in?
Yes.
I used to keep shop just below it. And that town hall, the rasters used to live in, they take out, the vagrants take out the wood they remove a lot of things. Where is it rebuilt? Huh? Is it rebuilt?
Let me ask you, why do you consider...
No, I asked you a question. David, give me a little break. Let me push the point. Because you are arguing about vagrants on steps, and I'm arguing about vagrants living in an old building that was referred as a rebuilt and is a pleasant sight to see. Huh? So you want to tell me, and I call it on all Barbadians today, to go into Bristol at a gathering, as it is called, let your children know about this building, take a picture.
What is there to tell them about this building, though?
This is the first national insurance building that was built out of the workers' money, and that building should be a picture that they could keep at home. You would never see that
so
building again.
As it stands right now, a lot of people used to work in the building. It is considered to have been condemned as a sick building. I don't know. I didn't see the report. And I'm in no position to say that the report itself means that nothing more can be done with it. But what I do recognize is that the previous administration, certainly once the people moved out, nothing was done with that building.
And it just stands there.
You have to make a choice. If it has been condemned as such, then you have to make a determination as to whether you're just going to leave it there because it was built out of workers' money, and that should be the yardstick.
All right, let me go.
I got somebody else on the phone wants to talk to you about this, I think. Okay, sorry. He wants to send me something on that.
Let me go on the other point.
Mm-hmm.
I want them also to go and look at the fire station that will be knocked down also. With that area, I want all the old firemen to carry the children and show them where they used to train traveling up and down that tower. We cannot knock down things because to build a play park. Good Christ, man, David. Sorry to say so today. To build a player park.
I did not hear... Excuse me, stop.
Huh?
Stop. First of all, I didn't hear play park. I heard a park, which is not, you know, in that area, and I heard the Prime Minister put the focus on the contribution of the right excellent Clement Payne. All right? So that you're trying to, you're trying to create a space that has national significance. It goes beyond, and knowing where you have come from with a lot of your thoughts and stuff, I would think that is consistent with what you would like to see done well. But you have...
No, right, let me finish, David. David, you cannot speak for me. I see it would be more proper to name that building the Clement Payne building since he had triggered the labor movement.
Mm.
That building that was built by the workers' money could be called the Clement Payne building. Do not take a building of that magnitude and destroy it to say you're going to put up a player park or a park. I am calling on Barbados to take the...
So the park is not going to be... The park is going to be built with whose money?
But look what you're taking them. Look what you are.
But they both are. They both ultimately going to involve workers' money.
I finished that part for today. Now let me go on. Now you talk about negativity. I heard you ask the callers, what would you say was positive in the last 19 months that the Barbadian Party was in power?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Good. Now, let me ask you a question. With all of this talk about the last decade, could you see anything positive come out of the last 10 years of the last administration? I left that to you.
To me.
Tell the public what you think happened with the last decade that was paramount.
You know what? I really think that you should answer the question. Because I have listened to you. I have listened to you under the last administration.
Of course.
And I have listened to you under this administration.
Not only this one, long time before.
And there is a distinct possibility that based upon your contributions, there are some people who may well consider that you are just a provocateur. That irrespective of which administration is in office, you may be perceived as one who likes to take the opposing view. So since you run the risk of being perceived as such, perhaps you should answer the question that you have posed there.
No, and let me conclude by saying, did anybody on the other side, you remember Clay Masters? You remember Kerry Simmons?
You're dodging my question.
I'm dodging the question because I am only a regular caller and a supporter. I talk about politicians that take opportunities.
I talk who about you, I talk about them.
But why can I, as an independent person, who you know me very well. I used to speak at City Platform too. And I see this, anything that I see with the working class.
It is alleged that some of the people who used to speak on Eric Seeley's platform were paid by politicians to speak. Were you one of those?
You believe I didn't get paid?
Man, you got to tell me. I didn't assert it.
I like that one, David. And the moderators who got agenda. Seems to be ready for sir or something coming.
But were you paid?
Never yet. Never yet.
Do you know anybody who was?
I never see myself as a person.
Do you know anyone who was?
I know.
For the history books, tell me. Do you know anyone who was paid to get on Eric Seeley's platform to speak against other people, including Eric Seeley himself?
Listen, but I tell you, Eric Seeley supported the issues and he spoke about them.
And was not paid.
If Eric Seeley was alive, this sort of nonsense that's going on today would be going on. You know that, David, you know that.
I hear you.
But it seems to me that if I continue to hear, I pick up your radio station this week, you know. And you had an agenda, I believe you're responsible for it. You know all of your moderators come with the same thing. Tell me what happened in the last 19 months. Tell me, not one and not in.
But it didn't say. But agenda. I don't expect that they said
their own agenda.
I hope they didn't say. Tell me only the good things that happened in the last 18 months. Though, I would be surprised. I would be surprised if they said that.
I believe you crafted that.
Well, crafted it, I think it's. I didn't craft it, but I will tell you this. I think it is a legitimate question to pose if it is open-ended enough that people could give you the good and the bad and the indifferent.